Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at the role of Mary in Roman Catholic theology in light of Scripture. And we've been addressing the seven claims that the Catholic Church makes about Mary, and thus far we've covered six out of the seven. And the first six are that she is the Mother of God, she is the Queen of Heaven, she was immaculately conceived, she was a perpetual virgin, her body was assumed into heaven, and that she is the co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. And our seventh and final examination will be looking at the veneration that is given to Mary in the Roman Catholic Church. And in our study today, we'll examine that aspect, we'll look at the dangers, and at the end of the program, I'll list several scriptures that in general refute the role that the Catholic Church has given to Mary. Now, one of the things that has to be understood, that in the United States, the devotion that's given to Mary is not the same that we find in South America or in other nations. In some of these countries, it is worship or idolatry, the type of devotion that Mary receives in the church. It's not to the same degree here in the United States, but yet at the same time, it's still a dangerous practice that's involved in the Roman Catholic Church. Now, in Roman Catholic theology, they have three levels of devotion or worship. The first one they call latria, which is adoration, which is given to God alone. The second level is dulia, which is termed veneration, or that type of devotion which is given to the saints. And then there is hyperdulia, which is a special veneration given to Mary. So there is worship that God receives, there's veneration which the saints receive, then there's a hyperveneration that Mary alone receives. And oftentimes, these three lines are blurred, and I'd venture to say that the unbiased bystander watching the type of devotion that's given to Mary would call it worship. And I agree with H.M. Carson's insight in his work, Dawn or Delight, where he says, Rome may deny that Mary is worshipped as God, but to attribute to her powers, which involved omniscience and omnipresence, if she is to hear and answer the prayers of millions, is to accord to her what belongs to God alone. Furthermore, the prayers themselves are phrased in such a way that it's hard to distinguish them from those offered to God. Let me quote to you from Bishop Alphonse de Liguori in his writings, The Glories of Mary, which was an official book endorsed by the Roman Catholic Church since he was officially canonized as a saint. He writes, "The Holy Church commands a worship peculiar to Mary." He also goes on to say, "Mary is an intercessor who intercedes to God on our behalf in order to obtain grace for the sinner." Also in his work, he says, Mary is a peacemaker between sinners and God. Also, Mary is the gate of heaven because no one can enter that blessed kingdom without passing through her. These are obviously contrary to the scripture because Jesus is the one that's described as the door. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. This bishop also went on to write, the way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary. Our salvation is in the hands of Mary. Obviously, this is exalting her to a point where the Roman Catholic Church may say that they are only giving her veneration. Now, it is true that the Roman Catholic Church has never said to worship Mary, but they have said to venerate her or to give her hyperdulia or hyperveneration. But what's happening in the hearts of the people, they're not making the distinction, and they are ascribing to her those things which could only be applied to God, and praying to her in such a way which should only be offered to God himself, which has to be termed as worship. And we're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, in the very words of Jesus Christ very clearly, where he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, and chapter 10, verse 20, where he says, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And here's where I see this danger, and this is why we've looked at these seven claims about the life of Mary, because they so parallel the life and ministry and character and devotion that should only belong to Jesus Christ. Listen to these seven parallels. Mary is called the Mother of God, where Jesus is the Son of God. Mary is immaculately conceived as Jesus has a virgin birth. Mary is a perpetual virgin as well as free from sin in her life as Jesus led a sinless life. Mary is bodily assumed into heaven as Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Mary is referred to as the Queen of Heaven, and Jesus is referred to as the King of Heaven. Mary is the co-redeemer and the mediatrix or mediator of all graces, where Jesus Christ is the one mediator. And then Mary receives veneration or hyperveneration, where Jesus is worshipped. You see how this is moving towards Mary being on the same par as Jesus Christ himself and receiving worship and devotion that should only belong to the one true Lord, Jesus Christ. That is why believing in any of these seven is a dangerous move towards idolatry and the worship of someone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to conclude our study this week by offering you some of the main scriptures which refute the claims that the Roman Catholic Church says about Mary. First of all, we need to go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, where Mary claims to be a sinner in need of a Savior, where in her praise in verse 46 and verse 47 says, "And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary acknowledged that she was in need of a Savior, and that's because she was a sinner. She was a sinner born in Adam, subject to sin and death, just like anybody else. The Bible says it's appointed for man to be born once, then comes the judgment. We're all under the curse of death and sin and under its power, but as we receive Jesus Christ, we're freed from that. Mary was an individual that was in need of a Savior. Listen to her own words about herself. She didn't claim to have any special role or privilege or rank over anybody else. She referred to herself as a humble servant. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary's response to the message of the angel is as follows. "Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." Mary saw herself simply as a maidservant, a servant of the Lord. And another key passage is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, which says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." It's clear that Mary is not the gate of heaven. Mary is not the mediatrix of all graces from God to men, but Jesus Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. Then also in looking at the role that Mary played in the redemption or the atonement, she played no part in it because Jesus Christ himself is the one that made atonement. And that's clear in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." And then just a couple other practical points as you read through the Bible. First of all, there's not one word about prayers being mentioned to Mary or devotion to her in the entire Bible. Actually, when someone wanted to give devotion to Mary, as recorded in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, which read as follows, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus directed people to honor the word of God and be obedient to God, not to Mary. Also, it is extremely important to realize that Mary is not once mentioned in the epistles. She is found, obviously, in the Gospels as well as in the book of Acts chapter 1. She was one of those in the upper room. And it's interesting, she was not praying to herself, but she was one that was praying and then ultimately was filled with the Spirit. And finally, once again, from Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50, it's clear that Mary did not have a special place or rank over other disciples, which reads as follows, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who had told him, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Here, putting all disciples on the same place of authority, Mary having no special place or rank. She is not deserving of the exaltation which the Roman Catholic Church has given to her. The purpose of our studies have not been to bash Catholics. And if you're part of the Roman Catholic Church and you have this sort of devotion to Mary, what we are wanting to do is trying to help you by directing you to the Scriptures to see if the things we are saying are true. So we encourage you to get into the Word of God and to examine the claims of what any person would say in light of the clear teaching of Scripture. And if we could help you in that process in any way, you could contact us by waiting for the phone number that will be given at the end of the broadcast, or you could contact us on the web at www.calvarylm.org. We'd just like to direct you to Jesus Christ, because he alone is the one that is able to save. He's the one that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And if we can help you get in contact and deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ, that's what we'd supremely desire to do. So our desire is to help you in that process.